Morning, everybody. It's good to see you. It's good to be able to share the Word of God with you. Risa was talking about using your hands, about using utensils. I just realized when she was sharing that, it dawned on me that my son Tim is visiting here, but most of the food that I eat doesn't require utensils. I don't know if I'm going backwards or why, but we still use them for good things. We want to talk about God's sustaining grace, God's uplifting hands, how He watches over us. From the Old Testament reading, there's an outline in your bulletins. You know, this is a very practical aspect of our faith. God's sustaining grace. How does God do that? What does it look like? That's what we want to concentrate on this morning. I want to give you something that's going to be a strength to you in your daily life, that's going to be some encouragement to you, because we don't know what this life is going to bring, but like we saw in the video, God is shaping us. So how does that work? What does it look like? What does it mean to have God working and shaping your life? From the Old Testament reading that we have, it was talking about God taking our hand, God watching over us. That reading is one of four. So this is little bit of theology, but it's a good background to know, because Jesus is very much present in the Old Testament. And it's one of four texts in the book of Isaiah that are called servant songs. And what they are is they're descriptions of Jesus Christ, the grace of God in Christ, and what we read this morning was one of those servant songs. It's the first of four. And actually, the first verse is what was quoted at the baptism of Jesus Christ. It's what God spoke out in confirmation with the Holy Spirit of saying, "This is my Son. I'm well pleased with Him. He is my servant." And we see that as a quotation that He's calling back into mind the promises of God of who Jesus Christ was. If you look at that text, it's saying He's going to rule. See, He's going to rule the nations. This is actually going to be a very powerful, authoritative ruler, not only for Jewish people, because when they talk about nations, see, the Jews, they were the people of God, right? And then everybody who wasn't born a Jew is a nation. And what this reading is saying, he's saying this servant, this Christ, is going to be over all. Now, very different than any government that you and I have ever experienced. Governments in the world, even if they're good, even if you think of the kindest, most gentlest ruler that you could ever think of, whether it's a president, prime minister, doesn't matter who it is, they use force. They use laws. They use their power. They use it to control. They use it to shape. They use it to govern. That's just how it works. Now, stop and think about it. This ruler that's described in Isaiah is very, very different. Not the same at all. He is so profoundly different. He does not use force. He does not tear down. He does not break. He does not do it like normal governments would. He rules in such a way, it says in the text, that even a broken reed, He's not going to break off. Even if it's cracked and it's bent, He's going to straighten it up and He's going to make it strong. And then Isaiah gives another example of what this ruler is going to be like. He says that if there's a smoldering wick, and to get an example of that, we actually have in our church right now, we have an example of very close to what Isaiah is describing, these candles. They're not wax. They have an oil reserve, and there's an oil reserve down inside the candle that you can't see. And what happens is if that oil reserve runs out, the wick will keep burning. But the wick will smolder because it can't draw up the oil to strengthen it, to make it work. It's actually going to burn out, and we'll have to throw the wick away. It needs that reserve. Now, that brought to mind the holidays. How many of you guys love the holidays? And all the celebrating, and I love it. I really do. Family was down. Jill and I had some time away. It was awesome. How many of you are really tired from the holidays? Yeah, it is interesting. It is amazing how we have that juxtaposition, right? I mean, you have that idea where I can't wait to do this. I can't wait to have all the food. I can't wait to have the gifts. I can't wait to have the family over. But at the same time, you got all the busyness. You got the shopping. You got the, it's all sorts of stuff that happens that takes the life and the strength out of us. And we're tired. We need a holiday now. And it's reality. And it's not only with the busyness of the season, but it's also true in everyday life. I mean, you think about the week that you have that you're going to have to deal with. Some are going back to school. Some are going back to the workplace, or you've been back to the workplace already. And as you do, you're going to run into situations that you don't have the strength to deal with. It happens. It's life. And you'll find that your reserve, you do not have the strength, I do not have the strength, I do not have the reserve in order to deal with what life might be throwing my way. And it happens in finances too. After the holidays, it's very easy to spend money before the holidays, isn't it? And it's very easy to do, especially with these magic little printing presses out of plastic that we have. You know, and those are very dangerous. And let me tell you, people feel the pinch afterwards when they get that bill in the mail. It's like, what? So that's reality, and again, we might feel or might realistically know that the reserves are not going to meet what the need is. And you see, it's at those times that, and this is very practical, that Jesus Christ comes into your life and is in your life to give you a peace and assurance that he is taking care of things, that he can meet the needs, that he can help you. There's an example. Let me share this with you, because I was talking about smoldering wicks. It's from our reading in Isaiah, and it reminded me of a book. You guys ever read Pilgrim's Progress? It is an awesome book. I see some people shaking their heads no. Some have. I would encourage you to check it out. It's called Pilgrim's Progress. It was written by a guy named John Bunyan, and it actually is the second most best-selling book in the world. The Bible's first. Pilgrim's Progress is second. And there's an old English version of it, and there's also a new English version that's a retranslation that's easier to use, because easier to read, because the old one is King James English, and it's a bit difficult. But it's a series of dreams that this person, John Bunyan, who was in prison for his faith at the time that he wrote it, and he had this vision and this dream of Christianity, of what it's like to live out Christianity in this world. And one of the visions that he has in the book is about this fire that's burning next to a wall. And what he sees in the book is he sees a place where a fire is burning against the wall, and there's one standing by it who is casting as much water as he can upon the fire to quench it. And even though he did this, the fire just burned higher and hotter. And in the dream, he asks his interpreter, he asks his guide, what does this mean? And the person guiding him says, the fire is the work of God's grace that is brought about in your heart through faith in Jesus Christ. Now the devil tries to cast water on that fire, and he tries to put it out, but he cannot extinguish it. The fire will be able to burn yet hotter and brighter. And so then the guide takes him behind the wall, and behind the wall he sees a man that's as ever so constantly, all the time, he's pouring oil into the other side of the wall and fueling that lamp. And he says, that man that's doing that is Christ. He's actually pouring this oil, the oil of God's grace. So that oil of God's grace just continues to refuel, it continues to strengthen. And it's the work that God has begun in our hearts, and you can't see it. You see, you're not always aware of it. You don't always know. In a very practical way of thinking, God wants us to be at peace. You see, when you're tired, when you're tempted, the devil would like nothing better than to extinguish your faith, make you feel like it's not going to work out, it's not going to happen. You're going to look more at the negativity and the issues and the problems than you will as how God might be able to work it out, or actually how He is helping you and working it out. And God's sustaining grace is your faith in Christ that He is working, that He's able to work in your family, that He's able to supply you with the job that you need, that He's able to work out differences where you might have differences and you might have strife. He works through faith. He works through us trusting in Him that we are His and that by His grace, He's able to work, as it says in Romans chapter 8, all things together for good. It's the oil of His grace that is constantly supplied to us. It's not our work. It's not our ability. You know, people talk about willpower, especially with New Year's resolutions, right? You got to have willpower. I don't know if anybody of you made New Year's resolutions. We tend to not keep them. But we talk about willpower. And us, what matters with us is not our willpower. What matters is God's will and God's power. And God's will is for you. God's will is to help you. And it's God's power that is your strength and your reserve. And when our focus and our mindset gets on that idea and is assured by that, it changes our direction. You see, God wants to put another direction in your heart and mind, in your relationships, in your schooling, in your work. He wants to take you in another direction where you trust in Him and you believe that He's able to work things out. That's hard to do. That's difficult to do. But that's the relationship of faith that God has called you and I to. That's exactly what He's called us to do. And you know, what we have to do is what actually they did in that Pilgrim's Progress example is we got to look behind the wall. You see, you got to look behind the wall and see and believe that God is working. It's very easy for us to get sidetracked. And there's so much negativity. And so many things that we can get sad about. And there are genuine things in life that we do get sad about. I lost my brother over the holidays. Juanita passed away just recently. I mean, those are real things in life that we get sad about. I know that. I get that. But God gives us a hope that we can anchor our faith to that means something. He was victorious over the grave. Oh man, that's where God wants us to be. He wants us to be thinking that. You know, the book of Philippians in the fourth chapter, it talks about that. He says, and I like to focus you on this because it's really good for us to fill our minds with God's presence. The way that you do that is you concentrate on the good that God is doing. Whatever things are good, Philippians tells us. Whatever things are noble. Whatever things are of good report, whatever things that are loving and kind, think about those things. That's what Paul told the Philippians. That's what God tells us. What happens as a result? Guess what verse comes right after that? Then the peace of God that passes all human understanding will fill your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what God's saying. He's saying, direct your mind to that. How can you do that? Well, you can do that because God loves you, because He cares for you, because He has established a relationship with you through Christ. It's a gift of God's grace. You know, and we direct our hearts and minds, we fill our minds with God's presence, with God's goodness and God's grace. It will change your perspective. And you anchor yourself, hold on to what God has said. One of the best examples that I could share with you is from Scripture. And there are two guys that were on the road to Emmaus. Maybe you heard this story. And these two guys that are traveling on the road to Emmaus, they were sad. They only knew at that point of the death of Jesus Christ. They had heard some stories, but they didn't really believe them. And their 3 years that they had spent following their leader was wasted now. They movement is dead, their Christ is dead, their hopes are dead with it. And you know, they're talking about all the stuff that has happened. They're sad, they're just traveling on this road, and Jesus Christ comes right alongside them, and Jesus begins to point them in a different direction. He gives them a more positive outlook. He begins to remind them of what the Scriptures had promised about the Christ. And then as they were walking on the road, their hearts began to be lifted up and warmed by His presence. And then they got to the place where they were staying, and they got in the quiet, which is not a subtle point. It's an important point. You need the quiet. I need the quiet. You need a quiet place where you can just chill and you can let God speak to you. And what God did was God revealed in communion, in the breaking of bread, His holy presence. And that just sent them the greatest gift of grace and awareness of His presence and forgiveness and fellowship. And then all of a sudden Christ was gone. They were so overflowed, they actually went in a different direction. They went back to Jerusalem and they were sharing. You know what happened? This is amazing. They were like night and day. And that's what the grace of God calls us to do. It calls us to receive that wonderful, beautiful presence of Jesus Christ. And let that presence just transform us. Let it remind us of who we are in God and God's good plans and purposes for you and for me. Concentrate on those things. Let those things grow in you. Don't let yourself be overwhelmed with your sin or the things that are issues or problems. It's so easy to do that. But look rather to Christ and the goodness of His grace. And like it says in the text from Isaiah, He takes your hand. Those hands, His hands were scarred for you so that you can take them and walk with Him and find peace with Him. May that be an encouragement to you and a blessing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.